Well, 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 happy freaking New Year, huh? The 49ers falling yesterday, no big deal. But the Warriors, of course, they lost last night. More importantly, the Kings. What was that? Hal Draper not with us today, but he's not ducking anybody. He's on the road with the team. He was very upset last night, as you may have seen, after the Kings lost. So we got Jay with us today. Jay Johnson. I don't know, Jay. How can a team that's 21-14 get embarrassed so often and so thoroughly?
Because I think just what you guys have said, or at least you, I'll say you, I think Drapes comes in there half glass full, as he should. And I think you do, too. I don't want to take that away from you, Whitey.
Uh-huh. All right.
Please, correct me if I'm wrong. You're a half glass full guy, aren't you?
For the most part,
okay.
Sure.
You have to think about
it? Yeah. I'm not sure what I am on the Kings right
okay.
now.
Okay. And I think that's the question. I mean, that's the answer on the Kings, Whitey. Would you agree with me? I don't think the Kings know what the Kings are. I don't think the front office knows what the Kings are. I think the players believe, because they're the ones that have to play in the coaching staff as well. But I think if you really peel back some of the layers to some of the coaching staff, Mike Brown, you know, probably Monty, think they would all say, we really don't know what we have in our bag.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of it right now.
Yeah. Drapes is supposed to join us today, what, around 3 o'clock?
Yeah, a little after 3. Uh-huh. Push her, you know, give or take a few minutes here and there, depending on the flight of the Kings. You know, it could be up and down on what time they pull in, the way they're playing right now.
Right, I know.
Might have to do an extra 30 minutes of practice.
He had a rough day, huh, Drapes, because there was that King, whatever it was. And then, you know, he is an Eagles fan.
Man.
And that thing just keeps getting worse. That's why you never say, well, it can't get any worse.
Yes, because it can.
Yeah.
It always can.
Yeah.
You know, long as you're still breathing,
uh-huh.
it can get worse.
Good point.
Absolutely.
Here's where I am with the Kings. You know, before when they were playing well, then they go to Houston, they get clobbered, then they get clobbered in Portland, they get clobbered at home against Boston. I think it was accurate for us to say, not sure what these guys are. To me, Jay, I think I know what they are. And hearing Mike Brown yesterday, I think he thinks he knows what they are, and they're just a really poor defensive team. So it's not like, wow, what's going on? It's like, you know, that happens one time. Whoa, well, they'll be all right. Twice, huh? And now it's happened so often here. 5 times they've trailed by 30 or more this year. 7 of the 14 losses by 15 or more points. I think we know what's up. They can't guard anybody.
Yeah. I mean, coming into the season, you don't want to put, you know, an onus on a team because they haven't played. But I said, and I've said this a few times already, if you thought the Kings defensively were going to change with pretty much the same type of, you know, personnel, with an inclusion of a JaVale McGee, a Sasha, who everyone, you know, basically said his deficiencies were on the defensive side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Duarte was at that point is kind of no more on the offensive end side. He's playing great D, or I should say good D. Great is probably, you know, that's too much because I think we use the word great too many times in our society anyway. I think he's played good D. And then at the same time, if you look at the writing on the wall, Whitey, last year in the playoffs, Davion wasn't being utilized to the best of his extent. And you could probably see that coming this year because all we kept hearing about Davion was what in the offseason? He's worked on his jump shot. He's went over there with De'Aaron Fox to work on some handles and offensive and his speed and offensive efficiency and setting up the offense, all these different things. But one thing we didn't hear about was let's make sure we keep the same level of defensive intensity and same level of defensive capability, which I know he has. I'm just not sure the Kings are looking for that from him until it's really needed. You know, we need a stop right now, or we need to get back into the game. Let's go ahead and put in Davion and see if we can get a few defensive stops. Besides that, I don't think they're looking for what his superpower is.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was out there yesterday, and I know yesterday after the game and also today listening to Alan and Chris, there was a lot of talk about how Keon was the one they sent out, you know, after the game. I understand that. To me, a bigger issue is that De'Aaron Fox didn't talk to anybody, but I understand why people are looking at that. However, to me, that's really neither here nor there. When the coach of a team comes out and apologizes to the fan base, I'm sorry you spent your money on that. I think that's a pretty big deal, you know, and we're kind of glossing over it now. Like, yeah, boy, I know what you mean, coach. I think if Darvin Ham does that, if Tom Thibodeau does that, some other coaches somewhere, that's a big deal. And I think it should be a big deal here that the coach of the Kings is apologizing to fans for what the Kings put out on the floor yesterday. Basically, Mike Brown calling out his team and saying, we're soft. That's what he said yesterday. Hey, my guys are soft. They didn't put up any fight. That's what he's saying. I don't know why we're not talking more about that, frankly.
Oof, I think because the writing says 133 to 100. And I think that's when more people are, you know, you and Drapes had this conversation last week early on, I believe it was Monday, about not just being a box score type of, you know, reaction. Uh-huh. Don't be that box score reactor. But I think if there is anything to read into when it comes to a box score, last night was pretty close. Minus the fact of they got bullied around. You know, you didn't see that part of it. They got outplayed. They looked like they were down from the beginning. From, yes. And from my standpoint, as much as whatever you want to call it,
definitely,
per quarter. And it looked like they conceded that New Orleans is a better team than them when they go head to head. And it looked like they weren't, you know, not so much as prepared, because that's not the proper terminology. But I do believe they conceded the whole game. Like, it was just, you know what? We can't beat you guys. And when it's funny, because as much as we've talked about the Warriors-Kings rivalry, as much as we've talked about the Kings getting over the hump against Golden State, as much as we've talked about, you know, Golden State treating Sacramento as their little stepchild, the one thing the Kings did is they came out and played like they wanted to win. They always went at the Golden State Warriors. And for whatever reason, you know, you can call the Steph Curry effect, you could call Kayvon Looney slash Walt Chamberlain effect, you know, whatever you want to call it, the Warriors kept beating the Kings. With the Pelicans, it's like, I mean, they just walk into the building, you know what, whatever you guys have our number, and we're just here to show up and collect a check.
Mm-hmm. You look at this homestand, and I advise you not to look too close to the Kings. It's like, whoa, right? You had Charlotte come in here shorthanded, and they held on, and they won the game when the Kings collapsed late. Then you had a double overtime win over Orlando, which obviously, and Orlando was shorthanded. That could have gone either which way, and credit to the Kings, they pulled it out. Then you had Toronto come in here, and Toronto was way behind. They're down 21, came back, almost won that game. Then you had yesterday. So you split the four games when I think most of us thought they had a chance to go 4-0. But here's my point, Jay.
Really, though? Wait, not to cut you off. Really, though, Whitey?
I think some people thought they had a chance to go 4-0.
And see, that's the problem. I mean, again.
You may be right.
Yes, there's no way this team could be expected to go 4-0 when I saw the Pelicans on the back half, when I saw Orlando, a young, fresh, energetic bunch. You know, and Orlando got some calls. The Kings got some calls. The Kings prevailed. That, as you said, the game could have went either way. But I don't trust the Kings enough in four games to sweep a four-game streak at all. I don't care who they're playing. And it's been shown they've played the Rockets back-to-back. They've played terrible teams. They came in there and lost to Charlotte, of
right,
all people. Charlotte without LaMelo. Charlotte without a few other guys that were, you know, that didn't
yes,
play.
Yeah, shorthanded.
If there's anyone listening right now and you expected the Kings to come home and go 4-0, you're fooling yourself. It's time for you, just like the Kings, to think we have to be realistic about this team. They're not a come home and win four games in a row type of team right now. I think they have the capability of doing that. I think they have the players, the personnel, the want to do that. But as you talked about, Whitey, they're deficient in many areas. And I don't even despite the deficiency, I don't see them. And, you know, people talk about the dog or the monster or whatever you want to call it. I don't see that in them to override the deficiencies.
Well, here's my point. Those four games and all four of those games, you could see the opponent was at no time intimidated or afraid of the Kings. They were, when teams got down, even though it was in Sacramento, clearly teams felt like, we'll be all right. The Raptors came from 21 down, almost won. Again, the Kings won, I know. Orlando shorthanded. Charlotte shorthanded. They didn't flinch. They won the game.
Right.
And then New Orleans yesterday, that was a freaking picnic for them from the opening jump. That game wasn't close. You know, maybe 5 minutes, it was like, who's going to win? After that, I was like, oh, this game is over. New Orleans knew that they cannot stop us.
Yeah.
They are not capable of stopping us. It was like high schoolers against fifth graders. You don't see that very often in the
no.
NBA. I'm serious.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I worried about the game coming into the game. I worried about the game three nights ago on Wednesday when we were watching Orlando. I think the Pelicans have the kryptonite to what the Kings have. And we've talked about it. I'm comparing that to the Warriors. I always felt the Warriors just had the know-how. You know, they're a wily bunch.
Right.
You know, the Pelicans, I just think they have the kryptonite to what the Kings are, which is long. They're defensive. They get in your way. I think, you know, and I've been critical of De'Aaron Fox in this way. Now, he has grown leaps and bounds probably more than I would ever thought. But I continue to keep on saying, we talk about we needing a big man. We talk about we needed a wing. I've said this team all along, going back 2 years ago. This team needs another creator. I don't care where you get it from. I don't care if it's the center. I don't care if it's the sixth man. I don't care if it's the bench. I don't care if it's what. You need another creator. De'Aaron's superpower now has become he can finish, right? He can finish just about anywhere. As you guys have pointed to, he's shooting a three a lot better.
He's added the three, yeah,
yes.
but that's disappeared of late.
Very true. Yeah. And I think that's, you know, a little fool's gold. I don't think he's going to shoot the three as strong as he started this season. But I think he's always kind of, how many times, and you've been a coach, you've been a player, Whitey, how many times have you say, if he could just shoot it enough to where they respect it,
Then you can't guard him. Yeah.
And I think that's what we're seeing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the one thing that you continue to see from De'Aaron's, you know, his cabinet, he doesn't make a lot of people better. It sounds crazy.
I agree with that.
Yes. It's we see Malik, his dishes, his assists, they put people in better positions to score, mm-hmm. right? With De'Aaron, it's kind of like he made the proper pass. Or he drove, dished a little bit, but he's not setting up for a lot of easier buckets. Where Malik, you know, he'll put a little spin on the ball, he'll dip and dive, drop it off, no look. You don't see that from De'Aaron a lot. And I continue to keep on saying the Kings need another creator.
Yeah, I think that's part of his growth, but I agree with that. Let's keep it here.
Okay.
Let's keep it here. 339-1140. 1-800-920-1140. I think we got Willie ready to go. Willie joining us here. It's Jay in for Drapes today. Drive Guys Sacktown Sports. How are you, Willie?
The Drive Guys, live and local. Every afternoon, Monday through Friday on Sacktown Sports.
Fans are upset. No Kyle Draper today, but he's not ducking anybody. He's going to join us at some point. He had to travel to Detroit with the team. So it's Jay Whitey today. Glad you're with us. 339-1140. 1-800-920-1140. John Parkhurst on the chat. Josh Parkhurst, pardon me. I was at the game yesterday. So infuriating. The Pels didn't have Zion or Alvarado and got dogged. Beamley says, Whitey, what do you want Fox to say? Well, I understand that maybe there's not a lot for him to say after a bad game, but that's part of his duties as a player, especially a leader on the team. Somebody's got to talk to the media. Sabonis did it. Keon did it. I mean, we also got to find out what's going on with De'Aaron. You know, it's possible, Jay, that he's hurt a little bit. I know somebody, it might have been Brendan, asked Coach after the game about that yesterday. And Mike Brown said, he's fine as far as I know. And he said, you might want to ask him, but he looks fine. So, he's really struggled this week. And that was a rough game yesterday. But the Pels also, they know how to play him and knock him. Literally knock him off his stride.
Yeah, I think everything you said is spot on. Who knows at this point? Who knows? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I truly do think the Pels play him very well, and they have the length.
Yeah,
they have the one of the assistant coaches down in Sacramento, and it was right before they were getting ready to play the Rockets, and to the word. The one thing they were worried about with the Rockets was they're physical.
Yeah.
They're like knuckleheads. Mm-hmm. They don't even know where they're supposed to be doing it. You know, they're just going out there playing. But the one thing is they're ruckus. Mm-hmm. You know, them youngsters are ruckus. And if you come at them, I'm going to come at you. You know, and sometimes it's not the best. It's not beautiful basketball. Sometimes, as we've seen, it doesn't mean that they're going to win a lot of games. But the one thing they're going to do is they're gonna muck it up. They're going to make it a problem. They're going to have an issue with you if you come at them. And I think the Pelicans kind of have a little bit of that, but I think they're refined a little bit because you have McCollum and you have, Brandon Ingram.
There is no ruckus on this Kings roster, to your point.
No, very few.
This is a ruckus-free roster.
Very few. As I've said it, I think Malik Monk is that spirit animal, you know, for the Kings.
Trey Lyles a little bit.
I think Trey Lyles is a little bit out of necessity. I think if he was on – and this is my thing – prior to Trey Lyles coming here, and I mean, it's Trey, you know, no disrespect to Trey Lyles. He isn't a focal point of other people's team, you know, when it comes to scouting. But had we ever heard Trey Lyles being, you know, somebody's going to sock you in the mouth?
No, really.
So now all of a sudden he come to Sacramento and he's, you know, he ready to clothesline people. Mm-hmm. Nah, that's not him. Mm-hmm. So let's not build that into him.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Willie joins us on Sackdown Sports. Help us understand what's going on, Willie.
Amen.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money on your kitchen project at Menards. We carry everything you need to turn your kitchen dreams into reality. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free design estimates today. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we done talked about this so many times. You know, I'm all cried out, Jay. Look, listen, man, I know Drake is got his head in a pillow on a plane. He flies, he's still crying. Matt Barnes in there tell it like it is. They tell the truth, baby. They tell the truth. And I know my man on the payroll, but you know what? Look, man, I've been saying for the longest. And then every time I make a comment like this, everybody say, was he going to be, he going to do this, he going to do this? I'm not saying that. You have to have a mentality, a defensive mentality. I think the Kings totally had about 12 fouls last night. You had guys just walking in the paint, just making just easy shots, shooting easy three. If you don't show any anger and show no any physicality, you can't stop an NBA player. Just like you got to have a mentality like a Dwight Howard or Cousins or somebody like you can't just let teams just walk in there and just score on you like they were scoring. Man, Jay, you know we'd have been fighting on the court. You know, me and you was out there and we down 50, and if we went in the locker room, we'd have been fighting in the locker room.
Jay, true. Yeah. Jay, thank you, Will. Willie's exactly right. Willie, you're right on the number. The Kings committed 12 fouls.
Yeah.
And I remember at one point looking up late first half, I looked at the rebounding numbers. It was 23-6. 23-6. They ended with the Kings ended up with 9 rebounds at the half. The Sabonis after the game said, they didn't miss any shots. So we didn't have
nothing to come off the glass with.
Still, 9 rebounds. And that's what I think really got to Mike Brown. I mean, when the coach is talking about, we did not have any fight. That should be a bigger story today, Jay. Willie, you know, the coach of the team saying, We just didn't have any fight. We didn't have any fight. It's not the first time he said it, but that should be alarming. He even said it's, what do you say, troubling, bothersome. I think Coach said, you know, it's kind of bothersome. And obviously he's biting his tongue a little bit. That is bad news.
Is it because of how many games we're into the season? Is it because of the makeup of the team? Is it because of, like, why do you think it's alarming? Why is it bad news to you? Because I continue to keep on saying, I expected this. I mean, the Kings are, look, they're what, fifth place? That's kind of where I expected the Kings
That's
to be.
That's not bad. Yeah, overall,
like,
where
were we expecting again?
Like, snapshot, snapshot of where they are in the standings. Like, that's certainly more than acceptable. It's good.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's building off what you had last year with a bunch of movement coming to the Western Conference, a bunch of movement, of course, happening in the NBA, a few pieces added, one or two lost, you know, Terrence Davis type people gone away from the Kings. I mean, I think it's the fashion in which they lost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if they would have lost to Orlando, people would say, okay, look, oh, the Paolo call blew
because
it. They had an opportunity because they competed.
They did not compete yesterday.
Yeah, they didn't. And I think it's just one of those things where they looked across and they saw the Pels, Whitey. And I think they understand the Pels play them very well, and they might have their number, and maybe they just mailed it off. You know, I wish we had a few more answers. And as you said, Mike Brown really didn't, and he bit his tongue a few times where you could tell. I'm pretty sure he went in and said something completely different than he said to the media.
I agree with that.
Yesterday,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And
he's trying to say the right thing, Jay. Like he said, we didn't have any fight, and then he says, and that starts with me. Well, you know, he's the coach, but, you know, he realizes he has to say that.
Yeah. And not necessarily, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I get it. You got to, you have to walk the line. Mm-hmm. But there are certain times where you can come, you know, come out and say, listen, we shouldn't be getting smacked around fourth game of a homestand when we're getting ready to hit the road tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we want to be the type of team that our goals and aspirations, you know, what we're looking for. And that's, I think that's why you have Kings fans. And even to what you're saying is the answers. I would rather De'Aaron. I would rather, you know, DeMontis. I would rather Harrison Barnes. I would rather the players. And, of course, Mike Brown has to have a conversation. But I would rather have some of the leaders in the clubhouse, in the locker room, say those things compared to coach. Because really, when you're looking at it, that's just coach speak, Whitey.
Yeah. Well, Sabonis yesterday. Sabonis is, you know,
ultimate
exemplary.
Professional.
He plays really hard. He doesn't talk that way, but he plays so hard. But when he was asked yesterday after the game about holding each other accountable, and he said, yeah, we have to hold each other accountable, you know? And he's right. And we got to, you know, we got to get on each other. But they don't, you know? It's like, you're right. But I think at some point someone's going to have to call somebody out or something unless the players realize, you know, that's not going to do any good. I think the problem really ultimately, I don't think it's the players need to play harder, which is what we all like to say. They need to play harder. They need to care more. I think this roster is just deeply flawed, and it's to their credit and to the credit of everyone in the organization that to this point they're, what, as you say, fifth. But it's hard to see them improving on last year or doing any damage in the postseason with this roster right now that is so, as you said, ruckus-free and also just can't guard anybody.
No.
So it's time to do something about that because the deadline's almost here.
Oof.
Bottom line.
Yeah, I think that's what it is, and I think that's, you know, coming to Jesus moment, you know, for Sacramento Kings fans is this is what has been, from my point of view, half glass full, half glass empty, however you want to see it, this is kind of what I expected for the Sacramento Kings. You hope for a little more. You hope for the better, but you have to be real. You have to be real with yourself, Whitey. And I've said this for numerous years here at Sac Sports 1140. The Kings are building. They've gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
There are definitely some pieces to what the Kings have that you can build a cornerstone and maybe a championship team. There are players that have outplayed my expectations, and I'm pretty sure a lot of callers could call in at the text line, YouTube, and would say the same thing. I'm pretty sure you can attest to that, Whitey. I'm pretty sure there's a few players on this roster right now where you're like, you know what? I didn't expect that. He has done far and better than what I expected, my expectations of that player. But – This is not a championship team. And I know we're not saying here that we expected this to be a championship team. But I think there were some lofty expectations because of how it went down last year. And that's something you've explained to Drapes a few times. Is look, the expectations are different this year.
Right.
So some of the things that Drapes may let fall off the shoulder or is getting upset, which is funny because it's a catch 22. Kings fans are saying, listen, no, we expected a little more. Mm-hmm. We don't expect on a 4-game homestand to lose to Charlotte, who's without a bunch of people, and then just absolutely get the elbow dropped on them off the top rope by New Orleans.
Yes.
And then on top of that, you haven't been New Orleans all year.
Yes, yeah. And that's what upset people too is, all right, now we got something for them. Whoa, it's even worse. Wait, it's even worse than it was last time. I think the big thing with Kings fans right now is they want to believe, as you said, this team is building towards something. Right now, it's hard to see how the Kings have improved. It's hard to see how they will improve. We'll look at that when we come right back. It's a Drive, guys. Jay in for Drapes today. Going to hear from Drapes today as well, though. Sacktown.
Mike, is Fox feeling okay? This is the third straight game where he struggled shooting, and just yesterday or 2 days ago when he was walking out of here, it just looked like he was just not in pain, but struggling and looking a little tired.
Yeah, from my understanding, he is, but that may be a question that you ask him, but everything seems okay from me with him. You know what I'm saying? He seems like he's okay. I haven't heard anything.
Your flagship station for the Beam Team, Sacktown Sports.
Kevin Gleason and Jay today. Jay Johnson with Kyle Draper flying with the team. We should be hearing from Drapes at some point here. Jay, big day for you. I realize you're Mr. College Football, and this is the national championship game day.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
This is me.
Surprised you didn't take today off. Glad you didn't.
I thought about it. No, I'm just playing. But, yeah, I'm all about it. College football is my favorite, man. I appreciate it. I know there's some things that a lot of people are starting not to like about college football, transfer portals and all these different things. Now, NIL, some people dislike it. But I love college football, man.
Yeah.
Really do.
Before we get back to the Kings, I just think it would be great if, you know, in the final year of the Pac-12, if a Pac-12 team won it.
No.
That would be great.
No, I'd like to see Harbaugh, Michigan win. And see what happens with Harbaugh. Because I think he's gone.
I do too.
Yeah.
But if he wants to be, don't you think whatever could happen with him is probably going to happen whether they win or not?
I mean, yeah, but it would paint a better story if he's to win a national championship and then look at the SEC and, you know, then say, I'm going to L.A.
But he'll have other chances. The Pac-12, that's it. There is no more Pac-12.
Yeah, that's their fault. And I think that's part of the situation too, Whitey. As much as I'm a West Coast guy, they did it to themselves. So I'm not feeling bad for them.
All right. So what's your official prediction for tonight?
I actually think Michigan wins by a touchdown or more.
Touchdown or more, okay.
Yeah. So,
all right.
But if you need me to give you a score or some sort?
No, that's pretty good. So pretty one-sided.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
I think it's going to be a little more – it's funny. Washington plays like a SEC team when it comes to the flash, wide open, throwing the ball. And Michigan plays like a Big Ten team, but I think they have offense. I think they, you know, as we've seen, they've come to the Natty, and they can run the ball. Everyone knows that. But I think J.J.'s got something in J.J. McCarthy, quarterback from Michigan. I think he has a little something in his pocket. Kind of going back to what we saw JJ early on in the season when he was throwing for 250 and 4 touchdowns. I think it's his time. And I think he wants to come out and enter the draft. And I think this is his – I think Michael Penix, who's the quarterback of Washington, has already done that. I think he's played his way into the first round. I think JJ, who most people believe is going to be in the middle, this is his coming out party, so to say. And they dominate up front.
If you were Mark Davis, and let's say Michigan wins, and there was a report today that Harbaugh has some interest in the Raiders.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Raiders have interest. If you're Mark Davis, would you hire him?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think any NFL team right now.
I thought you wanted Antonio Pierce.
I do, but I think if Jim Harbaugh is calling, you have to take him. You know, I mean, I think Antonio Pierce has shown and proven that he deserves it. But if Jim Harbaugh was saying, look, he's got the pick of the litter. Right now, no one's going to move until they figure out what Jim Harbaugh. If Jim Harbaugh comes to Mark Davis and says, look, I want to be in Vegas. This is a squad I want to lead. Then you have to go get him, because I think they're going to play just as good for Jim as they play for Pierce.
And he's got two teams in the same division.
I know, man.
They're interested.
Yes.
Cha-ching.
Are you going to L.A. first?
If I'm Coach Harbaugh?
Or Vegas, right now.
I would go to L.A. I would go to the Chargers just because I'm still not sure how stable that whole Vegas Mark Davis thing is.
Okay. What do you mean? He's going to be the owner as long as he's still alive, I would imagine.
I guess. If I'm Harbaugh, I'm thinking, if I go to the Raiders, I can do whatever I want.
Truth.
That guy's a pushover.
I think he's going to do the same thing in L.A., though.
Huh.
You're going to have to give Jim the keys.
What about, okay, so if the Chargers get Harbaugh and you're the Raiders, are you going after Belichick?
I think you have to.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, me, I would take Pierce, but I think you have to. You can't, if Bill Belichick and Jim Harbaugh are interested in joining your organization, I'm not just doing it on names. I'm just saying, if Bill Belichick, as much as I think Antonio Pierce has earned it, if Bill Belichick is knocking on your door and say, you know what? Hey, Mark, I've pinpointed your organization. I like a few things over here. Let me come. You have to.
What if he says, I want to run the whole show?
I wouldn't let him.
Yeah.
But Mark Davis is he's in no position to say no, right?
No.
He's a pushover. Yes. You just said that.
Yeah, yeah. All right, I guess whatever you
want.
Put
it this way, Whitey. If Bill Belichick came to Mark Davis and said he wanted to coach and be the general manager of the Raiders, and you know it's going to get out, and let's just say Adam Schefter is reporting it, and Mark Davis says no, what do you think is going to happen in the sports world?
I think in that case, it would be the right move.
Okay.
I don't think he'd have the smarts to make it. But yeah. We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. Yeah. Harbaugh's got a lot of Raider ties. He's got Charger ties.
He does.
Too,
yeah.
A lot of,
San Diego.
Lot of
yeah.
Yeah. All right. We're talking about the Kings. Back to the Kings, who were dreadful yesterday. A debate has erupted here on the YouTube chat. You got one camp that says, hey, the coaching is bad. You got another camp that says, no, it's this roster. Monty has not given Coach Brennan and his staff a decent roster. I think, Jay, the reason there's so much anxiety amongst fans, and I'd include myself here, so I'm talking about myself, a lot of Kings fans assumed they would be better this year. They didn't really, as you pointed out, they didn't do a lot in the offseason. Doesn't look like they're necessarily going to do anything now. So how is it? Fans are wondering, okay, how are we supposed to be better? Yeah, the record right now is solid. Based on recent Kings seasons, this is great. But how? It's hard to see how this team's going to get better unless they do something.
Yeah. It's almost a conundrum, Whitey. I don't have that answer. I wish I had that answer to give to you and Kings fans who are from that half glass empty side of town where, you know, they're looking for something to attach to being better. Mm-hmm. I truly.
It's a Brown get out of town. Hashtag Brown get out of town.
No, come on. Slow down now. Yeah, that's slow down. That's prisoner of the moment. Yeah, that's prisoner of the moment. That's not going to. From where the Kings were 5 years ago to where they're at now, this is the problem of winning in expectations. You've said it all along. We've had guests come on all along all year and explain it to Draper. The expectations are completely different. People want to see the Kings take the next step. The cold part about it, though, Whitey, is this. The Kings may be able to take the next step but finish behind in the regular season where they were last year. Mm-hmm. And that is a reality. I'm not sure Kings fans want to hear that. The half glass full guy, you know, fan. But I think that is a reality. And I think, you know, HT, the high flyer, has said it a few times. I've heard him say it on these airwaves. Just finish in the top six. Don't do a, don't have to compete in a play-in. Have opportunity to play in the playoffs automatically where you're guaranteed four games. And I think that's where it's at. It might not look the same on paper. They may not finish in the top, you know, three. But it might not be the same as we seen last year, top four. Whatever it is, they may finish sixth. But if they win a playoff series, do we consider it being built on as the foundation bent? You would.
Absolutely.
Okay.
They won a playoff series? Yeah, mm-hmm. That's progress.
So let me ask you, if they make it to the first round, lose in game seven.
That's tough, but I think given where the Kings have been, I think ultimately we'd have to say, this is still a good place to be. You know how it is. You've
sure.
been here a long time.
Sure.
You've been here, everybody's sure. been here a long time. Like yeah. we have knows. Hey, you could be looking at 7-28 or what, you know? That's
very
the way
true.
It used to be.
Yeah.
We have this, though, from Daniel Marsh. MB has killed what made this team fun and special. What inspired this group? Replaces it with regurgitated copycat material. Thank you for listening, Daniel. Bless you for your opinions. I totally disagree. I don't think that's what's going on.
No, I disagree, too. There's no way that is. I think what Mike has done, Whitey, and you've said it, I think he's trying to build defensively. They're trying to be a defensively, and it's taken away from what we've seen last year, which was just go, 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 go. You know, as we saw the famous clip, just run, right?
Yeah.
Take it and run.
Turn on the Jets.
I think now it's, okay, we want to start to hone in. Let's hone in on our craft a little bit, and it's affected what's going on the offensive side.
Yeah, there's also this possibility. He recognizes that maybe the Kings played a little over their heads last year.
Of course they did.
Maybe they didn't. Maybe they did. And he's thinking, well, if they did, then we're not going to have that offense to rely on. So what are we going to rely on? We better be better defensively. And that's what he's struggling to get this team to do. And they're, for the most part, I don't know that they're capable of it.
Well, let's put it out there. Do you think the Kings overachieved last year?
Wow, that's pretty
I do.
Harsh. Yeah,
I do.
Uh-huh.
Do you?
Yeah, if I'm being honest, I do.
Yeah, I mean, come on. That's what we do on the drive, guys. We're going to be honest.
They deserve credit for doing that.
Yes, but they overachieved.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way anyone thought beside those players and the coaches. I'm pretty sure half the front office didn't believe it. You walk in there and you finish the way they finished, playing the Warriors in the 3-seed. Like, I mean, that's overachieving from a team that wasn't even close to sniffing the playoffs. Yeah, come on now.
Right.
So if this year, the way it looks, again, they're in fifth place. We're not talking as if they're dead last. We're not talking as if they're four games out of a play-in. They're in fifth place.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
They're a couple of games from going up or down. Understandable. I'm not defending that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, I think they are, you know, they are who we thought they were. At least I do.
Yep.
I mean, that's where I'm at with it.
What do you think? 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. The Kings overachieved last year.
I will say this, Whitey. I didn't expect them to get.
It's his suggestion.
Yeah, it is. You could jump on me. I didn't expect for them to come in, lose to Charlotte, and then get, you know,
annihilated,
yeah,
disemboweled,
whatever. I didn't. But I also didn't expect them to go to Minnesota and win.
Mm-hmm.
I also didn't expect them to beat Denver. So give or take a few wins, there's going to be some bad losses. There's going to be some good wins. And hopefully down the middle, they finish in the top six.
Now, is there a divide within the Kings and what needs to be done at the deadline? Tell you why I'm keeping an eye on that when we come right back here. Drive, guys. Zach Townsend. Thanks for being with us today, getting through this somewhat difficult Monday together. Hey, you know, hey, the Kings are fifth. That's great. The 49ers lost yesterday, but they're headed for the postseason. Got a week off. But, you know, that was just kind of a grim one yesterday. Holidays are over. Pelicans come in. Kings got mollywhomped. Julian on the chat says Sabonis and Fox are fine. Keegan is fine as well. Kings just need a captain, another game changer who's vocal. Kings need more talented players, especially defense.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
That's what I think they need.
Whitey, somebody comes in here and all they do is scream, 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 talk, 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 but they're at the end of the bench. That's what we need?
I don't think
so. Nah, come on now.
I'm
not saying that's what...
Yeah. Waving his towel.
I'm not saying, you know, and I'm not saying that that person is saying that, but that's what... It's kind of almost... We're getting that from a lot of Kings fans is we need someone who's going to be a leader and vocal, and yeah, it could be... You know, a player, a Garrett Temple, so to say, an Iman Shumpert, who everybody loved when it came. You know, but Iman played, GT played. You know, those guys were in the midst of it, and they were in the fight. And I think that's what we're looking for, and I believe that's what most people are saying. But I truly believe you need someone that's going to be an integral part of the rotation, playing, and be that guy. And there are some of those people in the league. We just don't have it here.
Beamer Beams or Beamly says, Fox, Abonis, HB, Keegan, they're all very quiet, soft-spoken, it seems.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
Yeah, and it is hard for a player to try to be something he's not because, you know, players recognize that. And if you try to be something you're not, they're like, I'm not going to listen to you.
Yes.
That's just embarrassing.
But you know what, though, Whitey? We have, and I know Drapes would fall out the chair right now, we have that guy to move into the starting rotation. It's Malik Monk. He's the two.
How much is that? Okay, pardon me for interrupting.
No, please.
But if you start him,
yep,
and he's playing the same amount of minutes, what does that help? How does that address the problem?
Well, I think first of all, he starts and finishes, which most of the time he finishes anyway.
Right, right.
But I think parts of where the Kings miss is the vocal leader of, and I'll go to like a Popovich, or I'll go to some of the, you know, you see two possessions in a game, something goes wrong, you get a timeout fast, quick, and you're like, oh, he's not happy. They must have missed an assignment defensively, whatever. Sometimes when you have that guy that's out there and they're demonstrative enough, hey, look, they're already being, you know, they've been chewed out by that guy, or that person is rah-rah. He is ruckus. He is letting people know. And then the other part of that, too, and this is my pet peeve with the stars of the Kings, and I think this is part of that, is this. There comes a point in time where you as the star, you as the guy, and you've already alluded to it, it may not be who you are, and that's fine. That's okay. But the spirit in you don't just take over where it's like, you know what? There's no way that's getting ready to happen. Mm-hmm. And if it does, it's not going to be on my watch. Like, I'm going to do everything possible to make sure, show, you know, set the example. You're not going to run over us like that. You're not going to run over me like that.
Right.
And I think that's part of where some of the Kings, and I might be wrong, 916-339-1140, but I know that's one of my issues with the Kings and the King star is sometimes you just got to go out there and be different.
They were too willing to accept what happened yesterday.
That's not going to happen. Yeah. Uh-uh.
Like,
and again,
what are we going to do? They beat
that's
us
right.
every time.
Right. Yeah. And Jay's different. Drapes is different. We're a little more fiery. You know, we're not Draymond or what, but we're fiery. I'm going to get in your face. I'm Malik Monk. I'm going to let you know. I'm like, you're not coming at me like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
even if you get the best of me, believe me, it's going to be the hardest that you ever to get the best of me. I'm not sure we see that with the Kings night in and night out. Well, you don't lose to Charlotte like that, and you're supposed to be doing,
right.
you know, be a better team.
You're
I'm
right.
going to tell you that.
You're right. Here's something I'm keeping an eye on. Please tell me if you think there's something here or I'm seeing things. This is what Sam Amick wrote about the Kings December 18th in The Athletic. And I remember we talked about it at the time. He wrote, among other things, he said, the Kings' current roster focus appears to be on the value of shooting an offense above all else. And he said, there's a feeling that the improvement in defense is sufficient. So as they look at trades, Sam Amick says, and this is what he was told by, you know, somebody high up with the Kings, the roster focus appears to be on the value of shooting and offense above all else. Okay, that's Sam Amick, 18th of December. Mike Brown, yesterday, quote, if we think we should just be an offensive team, and there is some of that thought amongst us, you're going to be in for a rude awakening. So to me, that tells me
they're not on the same playing field.
Yeah,
that's a problem.
That's what I'm hearing. Now, am I imagining that, or is there maybe something there?
No, I think you're hearing what everyone's hearing. Yeah. My ears are telling me, do you believe that's an issue? In the fact, it could be start to rear its head.
Yeah, if they end up doing something that the coach is not on board with, it causes problems. I mean, that's part of your job as a coach is you make the best of what we give you. Hopefully, you know, he has the front office's ear and he can impress upon them, look, I think this is what we need. And to this point, I think that's one of the things that has worked for the Kings. The front office coaching relationship appears to be very smooth. I just hope we're not hitting a rift here with this very important philosophical decision that they have to make, frankly.
Talent will change a lot of it. You bring some talented players in here, offensively or defensively, believe me, we'll forget a little bit about the defense. If offensively they are a little more enabled than some of the guys that's playing right
See,
now.
Now you're telling me you want Zach LaVine. Well, I don't want Zach LaVine.
I like Zach. Because, and I know, you know, the discourse to his conversation is he's not a winner. He hasn't been a part of a winner. You know, as we've seen, the Bulls are winning more without him than with him. All that tells me is they're coming together more as a team because their star is gone and everybody is falling into place. You know, I can have an argument to everything. I think Zach is a creator. I think he's exactly what the Kings need. Now, on the defensive side, you're absolutely white. Right, Whitey. He's not bringing anything to the table. I get it. But he's also going to bring you 20. He's going to bring a little more of a dog. Now, he isn't the type of guy that I think I'm looking for when it comes to the ruckus. But I also think he's the type of guy, if you come at him, he's coming back at you.
He does. I've seen it.
Like,
yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't think with the Kings, there's not a lot of guys. I think, you know, sometime I think about this, and this is where my mind goes, Whitey. You know when you're better than someone and you can dominate someone, and we've seen it kind of older basketball. They'd throw it in the Shaq 8 times in a row, and he'd go get the bucket 8 times in a row. Well, 6 out of 8.
You're talking about Brandon Ingram yesterday, but go ahead.
I digress. I was going to talk about that. But but that's – there comes a point in time when that happens – someone, anyone, you got to say, nah, that's not going to happen. Coach, give me that. Yeah. Let me do that. Yeah. You know what? Get out the way. Let's switch. You have to. You have to. And that's the thing with the Kings that befuddles me. Sometime you'll see somebody go right at someone, you know, a player. Player A, 12 times. And it's like you can see it in a half. They're constructing plays to go at that person. They're conjuring up things to do to
get
go
out of
to,
my way.
Get out right.
I want him.
Almost to the point sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, where is the fight in that? Mm-hmm. Where is the fight not from only that player or those two players that keeps getting put in that pick and roll situation? And or where is the fight from the team and the stars? The stars. Nah, no way, no how, man. Watch out. Let me get that.
Does the fight, though, if you have a little more of that fight, does it make you better, or does it just make it easier to tolerate losing? I still think it's talent more than that, as important as that is.
I agree.
Yeah. We'll take a quick timeout. We've got Eric Crocker, by the way. We're going to talk some 49ers at 3:15. But when we come right back, we'll look at that whole Siakam-Barnes potential deal, what may or may not have happened, almost happened, or why it didn't happen. When we come right back here to Drive, guys, Jay's in for Drapes today. We should be hearing from Drapes this hour as well. Sactown Sports.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.